During worship, as I don't know, I guess Man of Sorrows, I was thinking about the cross and how ugly the cross is before Christ. Do you know that the Romans who came up with the crucifixion would not crucify a Roman on it? They would not crucify a Roman citizen on the cross. Too horrific. What they would do is not only would they would crucify you, but it was designed to bring the maximum amount of torture that a human being could take. And besides this, they were crucified completely naked. Okay, so you have immense pain with complete shame, hanging on the cross, and some people have survived 4 days on the cross. 4 days on the cross. And then the birds of the air that come and just that one quick snippet that on that one criminal next to Jesus, that bird came down. They would literally begin to try and eat the eyes out of the those that were being crucified, even while they're still alive. Why am I saying this? Is because now, because of Jesus' resurrection, we wear the cross. We've got the cross here in church today. It's not a sign of horror now. It's a sign of victory. It's a sign of the greatest love, picture of love, is the cross. It's because the worst way to die, one of the worst anyway, it was designed with the thought that I want to inflict as much pain on you as possible. So besides the personal pain, the cross was designed with hatred by people that said, I hate this person. I want to inflict punishment on them to the maximum ability of a human being to feel pain. So in every direction before Christ, when you look at the cross, you look at something came out of hell. But now look at it. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. This is so important to me that in my own heart, that I'm convinced that whatever the devil has done to me or done to my family, that even though it's horrific, like the cross before Christ, now Jesus, he defeated Satan, sin itself, death, hell, and the grave, and every other enemy that you and I could possibly have. And our Savior, when he rose from the dead, the cross was not anymore a symbol of defeat, but recognize that at that cross, God laid a trap. Now, I want to hear me today. At the cross, God laid a trap. Because every man and woman that the devil ever attacked was a sinner. Was absolutely already sinners, separated from the glory and the grace, the glory of God. But when the devil and those demons and man crucified and killed Jesus, they killed a righteous man, the only righteous man that has ever lived except Adam and Eve for a short time. How important is this? Is that it was a trap on that cross when the devil had attacked Jesus and killed Jesus on that cross. Jesus, when he died, he took every bit of Adam and every bit of darkness into hell and ripped it apart. The Bible says that when he rose from the dead, he spoiled principalities and powers and made an open spectacle of them. He stripped the enemy. How the enemy had stripped Jesus of his clothing on the cross. And Jesus bore the shame of all of us on that cross. And all of our sins on that cross. But when he rose from the dead, the first thing he did was he spoiled principalities and powers and made an open spectacle. A spectacle of all those princes that at one time they were in heaven serving God, but in the rebellion with Lucifer, they were turned into demons and cast down to the earth where they have attacked man for all these thousand millennia. But I'm so thankful today for the resurrection. Amen. Go with me to Matthew 28. So what am I saying? The cross has been changed from a curse into a blessing now through the finished work of Jesus on that cross. Matthew 28, starting in verse 1. I'm going to speak for about 15 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, and then Amy has a very, very important word to share with us. today. Have you found Matthew? Let's read Matthew 20 or 28, starting in verse 1. The story of the resurrection. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, that's Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Everybody say, a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I've preached this many Easters, this same verse right here, that it just shows the victory that the resurrection power of Jesus has given to us, that our stones in front of our graves have been rolled away. And the power of God is sitting victorious on that very stone that gave testimony that you were defeated, that you were lost, that you were broken. But that thing has now been rolled back, and every enemy represented by that stone, keeping us confined, keeping us locked up, keeping us in that place of confusion, bewilderment, anger, you name it. Every emotion that is not healthy, where we're locked up in that thing, and we carry it for years and decades, he rolled it away. And the angel is sitting on it, symbolic of the victory that now we have in Christ. His countenance was like lightning in verse 3, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards, Roman guards, 16 Roman guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. So afraid they fell down, paralyzed in fear. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified," past tense. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." How powerful these words this morning. That Jesus is not in the tomb. He is risen, and that's why we're celebrating Easter today. If he was still in the tomb, would we have a day of celebration? No, because the tomb is empty. Jesus is not in the tomb. He is risen, and by having been risen from the dead, that means that everything that killed him in the natural has been defeated. Every enemy has been defeated. Everything. I want you to get this in your spirit today, that everything turns on the resurrection. If the resurrection happened, then we are free. We are really free indeed. Because he is risen, we also are risen with him. But I want you to see here, in the Luke account, the angel says one of the greatest, I love the way Luke puts it. It says, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here. Look, you can see for yourself." How important it is. Again, Matthew says, "Come see the place where the Lord lay." I've found this true in my own life, and I bet it's true in yours. I know it's true in yours. Is to the degree that the reality of the resurrected Savior is in your heart, that is the degree and to the speed that you'll run your Christian race. When the resurrection of Jesus begins to be a doctrine only and a thought in your mind that passes by, I guess he did rise from the dead. I believe that he rose from the dead. You know, if it's not a passion, a fire in you that the resurrection happened, and that truth of that resurrection is not burning in your heart, what will happen is the believer that allows the reality of the resurrected Savior to slip from their grasp, from their heart and their mind, they will begin to slow down. And I've seen it in my own life that the fastest and the strongest that I'm running for God is when the reality of the resurrection is in my heart. I'm telling you, in the Bible, you can see every time somebody got a revelation of the resurrection of Jesus, it changed everything, how they were operating and acting. This morning, let me put this out to you. Will you go in your heart and mind to the scriptures with me and look and see the place where he lay is empty now? That Jesus is not there. And if he's not there, that means he's risen. We know he's risen. Besides all the proof of scripture, which I think it's insurmountable, the scriptures themselves prove the resurrection. But in my life, guys, I have now over 50 years, well, probably 51 years of being born again, probably 40, 45 years, 44 years that he was Lord of my life, where I served him with everything, where I turned my back on my will and I said yes to your will, Lord Jesus. But there's a very good chance that I've actually been born again now 50 years. And in those 50 years, I have thousands of testimonies, either that I know personally or I know people and their stories. I am so convinced of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the thing that motivates me more than anything, is the truth of my faith more than anything. And we could hold up Bible prophecy and we could hold up this truth and that truth. But this morning, church family, our Savior rose from the dead. He is alive. He was dead. Revelation 1:18 says, but now he says, I'm alive forevermore. This morning, when you woke up on Resurrection Day, did you not think about it a little bit more? Because we're celebrating Easter today, did something go off in you this morning where he rose from the dead? Now, what person do you know has ever risen from the dead? Apart from Christ, think about how impossible that is. That Jesus came back to life. Grasp that today. That there was a human being dead for 3 days that rose from the dead and is alive. He defeated death. The worst enemy that we have, the most unbeatable enemy, because everybody's been beat by death. You've been given X number of years to live, if you're able to live that long. If your flesh doesn't take you out early. And a lot of people, their lives that God did intend for them to live have been cut short. And I think about the fact that somebody was able to defeat death. How powerful that is this morning. That Jesus Christ, as a man, defeated death. And if Jesus defeated death, I go back to my main premise that all the enemies are defeated. And Amy's going to talk about this, but is there a transformation with this knowledge of his resurrection? Or are we living life at the same level that we did before we knew Christ rose from the dead? Yeah, you know, quote, your ticket is punched for heaven. I mean, you know, there's a lot of different ways I hear people say, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. God wants resurrection life now. He wants Zoe life, the life of God now. Resurrection living is possible right now. Romans 6:4 calls it newness of life. So shake yourself of everything that would cause you to accept the resurrection of Jesus as a doctrine, as something that you already know. I was telling Amy this. I mean, honestly, in a world of the digital age, and how many superhero movies have you seen? I mean, you've seen everything, you know, that the mind can imagine, people flying. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. And that sometimes I think when we read this story, our mind has accepted that, well, yeah, you know, so he rose from the dead. No. He rose from the dead, having defeated every demon power of hell. Even death itself could not hold him. Could we shake ourselves this morning and try to comprehend mentally, in your heart, tell God, this resurrection that Jesus did, the experience that our Savior rose from the dead, I know I'm not grasping the fullness of it. Would you open up my mind and my heart to fully comprehend what this resurrection means for me this morning? What a powerful moment this will be for you. So come with me this morning and let's look and know for sure that he's not in the grave. He is not here, for he is risen. He is risen indeed. And he said, and then the angel said, come see the place where the Lord lay and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. What is the message the first evangelists were given? The resurrection. Go tell he's risen. This is the foundation of the Christian faith, the resurrection. This should be part of your belief system every single day. Jesus is risen. And I'm sharing not a dead doctrine, not a dead religion, but a living faith with a Savior who is alive. He is risen indeed. So verse 8, here's three things. It says, four things. In verse 8, the person who's convinced of the resurrection, whether an angel personally telling you or through the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit opens up your understanding and you begin to comprehend, my gosh, the resurrected King is living in me. You begin to understand that. Verse 8 says, when the resurrection is grasped and believed, it says, so they went out quickly. Everybody say quickly. From the tomb, quickly. There's an urgency in this. So when you go out quickly, this is not something, by the way, at some point in the day, you know, this resurrection thought of Jesus, you know, if it comes to me, it comes to me. If not, well, I'll just do my normal day. No, it's so much more important than this. A person who understands that Jesus rose from the dead, not as a doctrine, but as a living revelation in their heart, there's a quickly, there's a action where you're going to move more rapidly with more purpose, more destiny. You're not going to go, every day will not just be one day after another. You're moving through your life, but there's a purpose that you want to share with all the world, this resurrected Jesus. How is there a fact more wonderful than that resurrection of Jesus? Is there any fact that's more powerful than the resurrection of Jesus? Can we pray today that the Holy Spirit, that there will be something in our walk that will change, that we'll begin to walk faster in the kingdom of God and begin to be more determined in the kingdom of God because of the resurrection that we're celebrating this morning, that it becomes personal to me and I'm stirred by the power of His resurrection. And that power is inside me now. And so they went out, number one, quickly from the tomb. And they went out, it says, with three things: fear, great joy, and they ran to bring His disciples word. Let me say this about fear. This is not a fear, obviously, of horror, but it's more of an awestruck. You're a wonderment, a reverence, wonderment. Is this really happening? How many of you have ever been to the point where you almost say, you know, you pinch yourself? Is it real? I mean, there is a fear that these early believers had as they ran quickly. A wonderment was over them. An amazing feeling. A surrealness. And I think it would be great this morning if God would restore that fear to us. How many of you think that if you had that kind of fear, reverence and bewilderment and wonderment, that would be a wonderful thing in your life today? Okay, so the opposite looks like this. Another resurrection message. Another Easter. That's what we do. We celebrate Easter once a year. Or whatever the religious habit to where we are not moved to action, that we go through the motions, that we mentally assent, yes, this is true. But this morning at the river, may all of us ask God to illuminate our hearts and minds with the reality of the resurrected Savior and cause it to create a wonderment in our life, that we would be awestruck. Can we just right now, as we lift our hands to heaven, let's ask God to show us the wonder of this resurrected Savior. That death is defeated. Hell is defeated. That Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. That He's alive. He's risen indeed and at the right hand of God the Father. And that life is now living in me. Secondly, they ran with great joy. Everybody say great joy. I mean, when I think about all my enemies really being defeated and that I have eternal life, that I'm going to live forever, that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that God loves me so much, He did it for me. I mean, that He sent His Son Jesus to die for me. When I hear these words that all things are yours, Matthew, all things, that you are an heir of Christ and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ and an heir with God the Father. When I think about the abundance of blessings that now are to the Christian, and that I'm not going to go to hell, that I'm not going to die and turn into dust. Though my physical body will happen if Jesus tarries, we're all going to physically die. But death is and the grave have been defeated. So some of you have buried loved ones here. I've buried my mother, my father, my brother, a nephew. We buried a dozen precious saints in the church over the years, two dozen, that have meant so much to Amy and I. I hate death. I hate death. And God hates death. And that's why He rose from the dead. He said that I am He who died, but now I am alive forevermore. And I love forevermore. I love that word forevermore. That death will never reign again. That our Savior, to those that know Him, that death is broken and the power of the grave is broken. And this, God forbid that we would ever have to bury any of our children, or God forbid that we would ever, but many people have experienced the terrible pain of losing loved ones way ahead of time. But even in those hopeless situations in the natural, that father, that mother can have hope. That brother or sister can have hope, and have joy in the midst of that sorrow today. And we can live our life with great joy because Jesus is alive and He's not dead, and I'm in Christ this morning. And where Christ is, I am. So can we have great joy? Can you ask the Holy Spirit to give you great joy today? Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let the joy of the Lord overwhelm you today. Here we are. How many of you have a few things that you could write down on a piece of paper today that can get you upset? Does anybody? Wave your hand if you got something, if you wrote it down. You could read a list that you could get bent and twisted if you meditated on those things right now. A sadness, hopelessness, anger, frustration, confusion. I mean, the list can go on. There's a lot of things. Sin in the believer's life. Jesus' resurrection has defeated all that. And I'm so glad we could have great joy today. I walked into my father's mother's home. I was 15. I was going home after I gave my life to Christ that Wednesday night in March of 1973. And the only thing I really knew was this thought: I'm never going to die. I walked into our house, my mom and dad watching laugh in. I came in 1973. I'll never forget it. Goldie Hawn was sticking out of the wall, waving at everybody, telling a stupid joke. Some of you know what that is. I walked in with tears in my eyes, and my mom and dad immediately knew something was wrong. And they said, "Matt, what is wrong?" My twin brother was right there with me. And we said simultaneously, as twins do, "Mom and Dad, we're never going to die." And that is how the first words out of my mouth, my testimony to my family, I'm never going to die because Jesus saved me. And you know what? I think if we could just ponder that right now, we're not going to die. We're never going to die. But we're going to be more and more like Him. The third thing, after coming out of the tomb quickly, it says they ran with fear, great joy, and they ran to bring His disciples word. And so this is important today that we know that we are running with a purpose. The angel said, "Go tell." See, He's risen. Now go tell the disciples that He's risen from the dead. And so I would encourage all of us today as Christians. We are Christians because we believe in the resurrected Jesus. If Jesus would not have risen, we would not be, there would be no Christianity. Okay. It is because of the resurrection that our faith exists today. It's because of the resurrection that we know we have eternal life and that we have this life that's so incredible. Now we're kings and priests in the kingdom of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, sons of God, daughters of the Most High, saints of the Most High, His most excellent ones, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, His army in the earth. I mean, we could go on what God has made us as new creation men and women with eternal life pulsating in my heart, in your heart. So what are we doing, not running and telling? The greatest joy that you'll have as a Christian when you share your faith. When you stop sharing your faith will begin to die. So let us stir ourselves up this morning to be able to share the resurrected Jesus. Share with your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. Share today that Jesus, run with this message, He's alive. And they didn't walk slowly. And they weren't stopping off for, you know, an ice cream. They kept running with a purpose. This morning, may we quickly leave our doubts at the tomb and take off running with fear and great joy. And it says in verse 9, and they went to tell his disciples, and behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. I told Amy this morning, I think verse 9 is possible for us every day. Verse 9 is possible for you and me today. In Matthew 28:9, these women held the feet of Jesus just outside of Jerusalem, a physical place. How can that be possible for you and me today? I believe that if we, in fear and great joy, run with purpose to bring the gospel to this lost and dying world, that Jesus is going to show up in your life, and somehow through the Holy Spirit, He's going to encourage you with these words, rejoice, saint, rejoice, child of God. As you worship Him and in all your heart love Him. And listen to verse 10. Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren. Go and tell. How important it is. The angel said, go and tell. Now Jesus is saying, go and tell. Church family, this morning, as Amy, would you come forward? I want us to embrace the truth today that the resurrection is a fact. It's not a doctrine. It's not a cleverly devised fable. Jesus truly rose from the dead indeed. And because He rose from the dead, it has changed everything about life. And that though sin abounds in the world, grace does much more abound. And this Savior has given us the Holy Spirit now to live within us, to be the Spirit of Christ in us, another comforter. And He can empower us to go and tell and go and share and go and love and go and not be afraid of our shadow, but go in this awe, this reverence and awe that, my gosh, I am part of the redeemed. I am part of a generation of the resurrected, is what the Bible in Luke calls it. That we are part of a race of people, a new creation people that have resurrection life in us. That we're not just your average Joe walking down the street. Do you know that you as a believer, you're not just a person, a human being? That you are more than just a mere man? That you are a new creation and that now God Himself is living in us? And the joy that that should bring? Could you stand on your feet with me? And as I ask you for the 12th time today to lift your hands, I don't know what else to do. I'm so blessed. I want to lift my hands to heaven and tell God, I thank you that you have given us your Son, that you gave us Jesus Christ, the greatest gift. That God, you became a man to redeem us by your blood through your grace, showing us the Father's great love. Having defeated Satan, sin, self, death, hell, and the grave, you rose from the dead as a resurrection and a life, giving to us eternal life. And now as head of the church and our high priest, you are leading us in righteousness, truth, and holiness. And even when we're faithless, you remain faithful in your covenant love. And we honor you today, King Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords. And may we leave here eating your word, drinking of your spirit, growing up into maturity, shaking off everything of Adam, clothing ourselves head to foot with Christ, with fear, great joy, running with the good news, not ashamed of the gospel, because our Savior rose from the dead. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dear Lord, when I was a little girl, every Sunday, even though we lived in different countries and different cities, being in the military, my parents would always take us to church at the Episcopal Church, and I loved going, especially on Easter morning. And I went every single Easter we'd go, and before we went, my mom would arrange an Easter egg hunt. Don't tell anyone. We'd have an Easter egg hunt. We loved Easter egg hunts. But we didn't understand back then really the true meaning of resurrection. And I was just thinking as I'm sitting here this morning how wonderful it is that our eyes have been opened. And you might be here today and you're not quite seeing the truth of what's being said. Because this is what I was like for my first 22 years. I would go and I would love hearing about Jesus, and I would love hearing about the cross, and I would love hearing about resurrection. But it wasn't until I made the choice to say yes to Him and invite Him to come and make me a new creation, forgive me, and have rulership in my life, that all of a sudden, when I did that and chose yes, it was almost like a veil just got removed from my eyes, and I could see the miracle of the cross and the resurrection, because I never really understood until then, even though we prayed these beautiful prayers every week. I couldn't see the truth of the word. Romans 3:23 that says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I couldn't see it. I didn't know that when I was born into this earth, I was born separated from God. I didn't realize it. I would hear it, but I couldn't tell until I received the Lord and the Holy Spirit came to live in me and He opened my eyes to see some of these truths you've been talking about. I didn't know that the wages of that sin is death, separation. All have sinned. We were born separated from God. The wages of that sin, the result of that, what happened with Adam way back of his choice to disobey God, was passed to every human being since Adam, and we were born separated from God. And I didn't know that He had given the free gift of Jesus Christ, that all who choose Him and confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus rose from the dead, that we could have eternal life in Him. That was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And so I just want to encourage you today. You are so loved by the Father. He is so desiring us to walk in the truth of the resurrection, that we're no longer mere men. We're no longer regular humans. We're no longer separated. But literally every day, for those who have said yes and chosen yes, every day, the Spirit of the living God inside of us is speaking to us, is guiding us and leading us and giving us an eternal perspective. Because let's face it, guys, our life on this earth is just a breath. And in a moment, we're going to be in eternity. And there's lots more to do in eternity. But whatever we do on this earth determines not only where we spend eternity, but how we spend it, because there's rewards too. But this message of the resurrected King is so incredibly, not only the truth of our life, but it's so important how we believe it. And what I want to share about for a few moments this morning is what I feel is one of the most important scriptures for you to know. And it's from Romans 12:2. And it says this, because, guys, every day in our life, We have a lot of input coming. We have a lot of information. We have a lot of things in our mind. We're thinking about our past. We're thinking about what we haven't done. We're thinking about our failures. We're thinking about all the bad news of the world. We're thinking about what happened in a conversation earlier. There's a lot of clamorous things in our mind, right? And the Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And so what Pastor Matt's speaking of this morning and what's resounding in churches across the earth. And by the way, it was so fun just praying for the whole globe today, that as today many people are gathering to talk about the cross and the resurrection, that there's going to be a great harvest of souls this day. But one thing that we're praying as well is that the church of the living God is arising to the truth of his word. And I want to share Romans 12:2, and it says this. And could we have the NIV instead of the Amplified? Because I love the Amplified, but sometimes there's so many words that I forgot what I was trying to learn from it, from the first sentence. I get lost in some of the words. So NIV. And I'll just read it to you now from the ESV. It says this. Romans 12:2. Say Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everybody say my mind. So that I can know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You need to know today that God has a will and a purpose for your life. And it is not unknown. It is not far away. It can be known by you to the degree that you do Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed. What is conforming? Conform means, Pastor Matt had a glass of water up here, and that water conformed to the structure of the glass, right? It's conforming to what is surrounding it. The Lord says, don't be conformed to this world, this world's mindsets, this world's news, this world's thoughts about you and about eternity and just what's happening every day. Don't be conformed to your natural way of thinking or the world's way of thinking. Don't copy the behavior or the customs of this world. But, everybody say but. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, I just want you to lose your mind today, your regular way of thinking. We need to lose our old way of thinking and be transformed by the Word of God right here. Don't be conformed to everything you can see with your natural eyes, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to this Word of God. And guess who's your teacher? The Holy Spirit who lives in you. So as Pastor Matt's sharing this truth of the resurrection today, do you know what's happening? You're not being conformed of what you're feeling or thinking, but your mind is being transformed by the truth of the Word of God. As he's speaking it, as you're hearing it, your mind's being transformed. And what happens? All of a sudden you're thinking, oh, okay, it's God's will for me to walk in the resurrection. Oh, the truth of, oh, it's God's will for me to walk as a worshiper at the feet of Jesus. And so as your mind is being transformed by the Word of God, you're being so transformed that you're going to know. How many of you raise your hand? You ask the Lord regularly for his will in your life. I want your will in my life. That's a very wise thing to do. Because even our best ideas are really not the best. God has a will for your life. And that will for your life is not just for you, even though he loves you so lavishly and so immensely. That will for your life is multiplicitous in that it has a plan that goes from you and through you to touch the people around you, in your family, your co-workers, your friends, this world. This year, God's will for you is to touch people's lives who are separated from God, and you're to be a redeemer in the earth and point people to Jesus. You're to reflect his love to people that are dying and going to hell. You're to reflect his love to someone who's wringing their hands in fear. You're to reflect and proclaim his love and his truth to those that are separated from God. So I want to tell you how important it is for you to know the will of God. You've got to know God's will, not just for your own life, but let's face it, we have one life to live on this earth, right? One life. Wouldn't it be great if when we got to the end of this life and we stood before our Lord, and make no mistake, you will stand before Him. And wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of us in this room, because we're thinking about this early, we're thinking about this right now, we're going to hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I knew you. You knew me. You loved me." And so, it's so important for us to really make a decision about what kind of mindset we're going to have. We're either going to be influenced by all of the input coming in from this world and our own thinking, or we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Raise your hand if you're a transformer. We're not just turning into better versions of ourselves. The Lord wants to transform us like a caterpillar to a butterfly, make us into something totally new. And so, how does this happen? I just want to give you a couple of things today, because on Resurrection Sunday, it's good to make some new commitments. This is God's precious word to you. And if you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, I want to challenge you in this. Because you do want to know His will, right? You want to know, we want to know God's will for our lives. And it's very possible to know His will every single day. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to wander around. God wants to show us His will every day of our lives. And He shows it to us through the pages of this book. So as we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, I want to tell you something. Every day. Everybody say every day. When you wake up. Why when you wake up? Because that doesn't give you time to get all confused and garbled up that you have to regroup later. When you wake up, open up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Psalms, or any part of this Bible. Get a plan. And as you open up the Word of God, you're going to say this to the Lord, because He's with you. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. He's the transformer. You're going to say this to the Lord. And even if you just have one verse that you ask Him to reveal to you, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind and have this resurrection life working on the inside of you, you say, "Holy Spirit, my teacher, I pray that you would transform my thinking into your thinking today. I pray you would show me your will today. I pray you would open up the eyes of my understanding, that I wouldn't walk like a regular human being, but Lord, I would walk as the new creation man or woman that you have created me to be, the very temple of the Holy Spirit, walking in newness of life." And you know what's going to happen? Wherever you are in this, take a new step. Maybe you already read God's Word every day, but do you know what? God wants to take you to new depths in the Word and new levels in the Word that you have never discovered before. And maybe you've read your Bible in the past, but you haven't been reading it. I want to tell you something. Did you know God wants to speak to you through His Word every day of your life? He wants to talk to you personally. The Creator of the universe, that created all we can see and created you, wants to speak to you personally every single day. But He gives us a choice, just like He gives us a choice to say yes or no to eternal life with Him. He gives us a choice to say yes to His Word. He gives us a choice to Romans 12:2. Let's say it together. Don't be conformed to this world's way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Guys, I don't know how much time we have on this earth, because we don't know how many days the Lord has given us. But we do know this. We can know His perfect will. We can walk in His presence. We can walk in His love. We can walk with the Holy Spirit every single day and have the wisdom of God. We can be resurrection people every day, not just on Resurrection Sunday, but every single day. So my challenge today, and Pastor Matt, come back up. My challenge to you today is this. to be a transformer of the world. And guys, renew your mind to the truth of God's love for you. When you start believing lies about who you are, your inadequacies, your failures, what you can't do, that's being conformed to this world. It's being conformed to what the enemy wants you to believe. But when you open up this word every day and get a new notebook or some place to write it down, you know what the Lord's going to begin showing you? Who He has made you to be. He has made you to be a new creation. Above and not beneath. He has made you to be a person who walks in His wisdom, in His presence, in His love. But you'll only do it to the degree that you're in this Word of God being transformed. And literally, He'll turn us into a brand new person that looks like Jesus in the earth and carries His presence everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. And so I want to know Him. I want to be transformed by His Word. I don't want to be conformed to what my mind says or what the world tells me. But on this Resurrection Sunday, I want to make a decision that I'm going to go deeper in walking with the Lord by knowing Him through His Word. Jesus is the Word. You want to know Jesus? Know His Word. You want to walk with Him? Walk in the Word of God. And Lord, we just thank You so much that You are alive today. You've risen from the grave. You've made us a new creation. And today we invite You, Lord, to transform our minds that we would walk in Your perfect will and bring You glory in this earth. For Your Word says we're to be going from glory to glory and faith to faith. Lord, this is our heart today. And this is His will for you today, that you're going from glory to glory in His Word and in His presence. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Amy. You know, the revelation for the women that came to the tomb was an empty tomb. The angel was sitting there. So that was what they needed to be able to know that Jesus was resurrected. So we can't go to an empty tomb, but we can have our minds renewed to the Word of God. And then as we do that, Amy, the Holy Spirit will transform us. There's a transfiguration waiting for each one of us as we give ourselves over to the Word of God.
Yes.
Because the Word of God is God. So when Amy is holding up this Word today, and it almost like in our ministry, we exalt the Word of God so much. It ought to be, the two questions we ought to be asking each other is, do I find you praying and are you in the Word? You know, that should be how we should encourage each other, not condemn each other, but be encouraging each other, because it's the vital things. As we pray and read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will illuminate us. And the dullness, and believe me, guys, I deal with dullness too.
Uh-huh. Just kidding.
No, Amy never has to deal with dullness, but, you know, mere mortals here, we have to deal with dullness sometimes. But so let's give ourselves over to this Word. The transfiguration's waiting. It's our destiny. It's the inheritance that's been given to us. Let's not stay where we are. Let's embrace this revelation of the resurrected Jesus and ask the Holy Spirit to do that in us. Now, as we close, it says we opened up with the stone being rolled away from the door. And the angel sat on it. Who today, you want this to be your point of contact to where there's something of your life that's been locked up in death or into bondage or into
slowing you down.
A pattern where it's, you know, it's Adam. It's not Christ. It's the fallen nature. It's got you bottled up. You'd like the resurrection life of God to roll away the stone from your life today. Would you stand on your feet? That area might be, and I've got a couple areas.
Let's all just stand. Because
Amy's got 50 or 60.
Yep, right, so maybe 70 or 80. Let's all stand, because all of us have something that's hindering us. And what do you say we get rid of any of these hindrances today and right, make a new commitment for resurrected life?
So I'm gonna lead you in a prayer. Now, we're all standing, but what I really want from this is I want a decision that you believe in the resurrection power of God more
yes.
than what has been.
Yes. A
Whatever
new
has
level.
Been is not the perfect will of God for you if there's you're bottled up, you're locked up into something. Okay? There's some areas in my life right now today that I'm going to ask the Lord to roll away a stone.
So we can put these at the cross today.
Yes.
We're giving them to Jesus.
Well, I'm seeing the very life and resurrection power of God sitting on that thing in my life. And I'm free. I'm walking out. Amen. And I'm believing for that today for all of the church
thank you, Lord.
Here today. Will you pray
thank
this
you,
prayer
Lord.
With me?
All of these hindrances.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
My Lord and my Savior.
My Lord and my Savior.
You are the Alpha and the Omega.
You're the Alpha and Omega.
The beginning and the end.
And the beginning and the end.
The author and the finisher.
The author and the finisher.
You're the one who was dead.
You're the one who was dead.
But now you are alive forevermore.
But now you're alive forevermore.
I believe. That where sin has abounded.
Where sin has abounded.
Grace does much more abound.
Grace does much more abound.
I believe today. That resurrection, life, and power.
That resurrection, life,
is,
and power.
Has rolled away the stone.
Has rolled away the stone.
For me.
For me.
And your power.
And your power
has defeated my enemies.
Has defeated my enemies.
Your love.
Your love
has defeated my enemies.
Has defeated my enemies.
And right now.
And right now.
I bring you that area.
I bring you that, Lord.
Now that area, just speak it out to the Lord.
Oh, we just bring you
that area. Just
we
lift
bring
it up
you
to
these
Him.
Areas, Lord, that we could have new
resurrection
life
and power.
Resurrection life today.
Thank
oh,
you,
Father,
Lord Jesus.
Thank you. Remove every hindrance.
Say this with me, Jesus.
Jesus.
You are risen.
You are risen.
Indeed.
Indeed.
In my heart.
In my heart.
And in the world.
And in the world.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Give the Lord
thank
one
you,
last
Lord. Thank you, Father.
Well, before we go, I want you to greet one another again. And do we have a song?
Yes. And if there's anybody here today, and there's never been a moment where you actually ask the Lord to take over rulership of your heart and make you a new creation, we want you to come up today at the end as we close. Or maybe you've known the Lord at one time, but you've just drifted away from Him. And you just want to take a step back to Him today by faith. Come and meet us up here. And Pastor Matt and I want to pray for you. Mm-hmm. And we want you to know God loves you today. His love is so lavish for us today. Thank you, Lord.
Happy Jesus Resurrection name. Day.
Happy Resurrection Day. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Woo-hoo-hoo.